Welcome, everybody, to the One Small Change. And as usual, I am thrilled to be embarking on this journey of exploration and transformation with you. I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring over almost 30 years of experience in the entrepreneurial space. And I have a passion for discovering growth through the power of seemingly small change. And I want to thank you for being with me on this journey. And this week, we are talking with, and I say this almost every week, one of my favorite people, Lord Al Jensen. And he is going to give you some information that's going to change the way you look at your business and your life. Al, thank you so much for giving us your time to do this.
Yvonne, for you, I'll do anything. So you've been just a great supporter of me and my programming, and I'm here for you, and I'm here for your audience and anytime.
So the question of every episode is, what was the small change that had it, and what was the impact that it had on you, whether it was personal or professional?
Oh, the one small change. Wow.
Yes,
How much time do we have?
I
Because this one that I've decided to share with you today is indeed a very small change, but it has had huge
know.
rippling impact on my life, on my success, on my satisfaction, on a number of the businesses that I've worked with. And I thought about this when you invited me to join you on today's podcast, and you said, tell us about a small change that had a huge or unexpected consequences. Well, this goes back, gosh, 35-ish years ago, and I was living in Des Moines, Iowa, in Central America, and I was the manager of Respond First Aid Systems. Now, Respond is no more. It was bought up by a conglomerate, but at the time, it was one of the top van service first aid companies out there. So what we did is we would go around to business and industry, and we would offer to sell them a commercial first aid kit, which was required by OSHA. And then we would come back and we would restock it, replenish it on a regular basis. So I was hired to manage this sales force. And we started off, they gave me four salespeople and just go out there and see what you can do. And we stumbled about for the first year or so, and we had little success here, little success there. And then one of the bigger franchises was in Chicago, which was just 4 or 5 hours east of Des Moines, Iowa. And they called me up one day and they threw down the gauntlet and they says, "We got a challenge for you. We're gonna take a 2-week period and we're gonna see who can get the most new customers, who can really build their business. And then we'll come together right in the middle on the Mississippi River in Davenport, Iowa, and then we'll have a weekend sales meeting and we'll share ideas and thoughts, and then the winner of the contest will be announced." Now, the guy suggested this was a contest called Steak and Beans. And the winning team would eat steak at the Saturday night banquet, but the losers would eat beans. I mean, bean salad and chili beans and just everything beans, to be humiliated in front of the winners. Well, I didn't want to eat beans, so I really pumped up my crew and I says, "Okay, I'm gonna plan a sales campaign and we're gonna just kick the heck out of these guys in Chicago." So I planned it out and I laid it out and I strategized. And then I went back and I replanned and I re-strategized. And then I tried again and I came up with a new plan. And before I knew it, the contest was upon us and I had done nothing but planned. We really didn't have much of a chance to execute. So I thought we did okay, but I mean, this company in Chicago, they were really stronghold, and I thought that they might give us a chance, but I wasn't sure. So we went to this event in the Quad Cities, and we had our weekend sales meeting, and then at the Saturday night banquet, I learned my team ate beans. And oh, I was so frustrated. We lost. And at the end of that evening, the sales manager for the Chicago office said, "Hey, listen, why don't we try this again in 6 months and see what happens? We'll give you another chance to eat beans." And I says, "Okay, you got it, buddy. Let's do this again." So I came back to Des Moines, licking my wounds with my tail between my legs. And I actually hired a productivity coach about that time. And this productivity coach met with me and helped to lick my wounds and keep my head up and going forward. And he says, "Listen, I know exactly why you lost that contest. It's not because you didn't have the talent. It's not because you couldn't get the job done. It's because you spent all your time planning and you
Okay.
didn't spend enough time executing."
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that is a lesson. This is something you need to write down. It is better to have imperfect action and actually do something than try to perfect it before you get into action. I don't know if I told you this, but my motto for this year is fail forward faster. You can learn more from failing. And actually going into action. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I think that that is a lesson that we all need to take away, regardless where you are in your business, because you can forget
So all I need to know is where were you 35 years ago? I mean, why didn't you tell me that then? I mean, because absolutely. And here's what I learned. My productivity coach and they were really a rarity, but I was committed to excellence in my career growth. And he says, "Listen, yeah, you can't ignore planning. You got a plan, no doubt about it. But don't waste so much time over planning, coming up with all the what ifs and things of that nature." So he says, "Just sit down, do your plan, and then take action. You got to move from that planning to the action stage so quick." He says, "So many people over plan and try to think of every eventuality and how they're going to handle that." He says, No. Just make a plan, make it quick, and then take action. Get out there and implement that plan." And then he said, "Here's where the real key comes in. After you've done your plan and after you've taken action, then step number three, evaluate the results of your action." And he said, "You're going to do some things that are right by accident. If you're taking action, some things are just going to fall into your lap and they're going to happen that you never really contemplated, that you didn't plan, you didn't consider. And some of those are fortuitous accidents. You need to repeat those. And then you also need to take a look at those actions which maybe didn't really contribute to the success of your plan. In other words, the failures that you had. Because there's value in evaluating both the successes and the failures." So then we move to step number four.
Can I stop you before four?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Again, this is a writer down. You need to do some kind of evaluation and get some kind of feedback. And almost every model that I've put together, and when I looked at where I made a mistake, or where I, didn't have the success that I wanted, it was because I didn't take the time to evaluate at the end or evaluate as I was going through. Like if I was going through the steps, I didn't say, okay, I did this. This is what I expected, but I didn't get it, or I got it. Is this a keeper, or do I need to change it? So I had a coach that used to say, build the plane as you fly it.
Yes.
Get each piece to work, you go, okay, this works. I don't, I can leave it alone, or I go to the, or I need to make some correction. And I think, for me, the whole concept of evaluation had a really bad feel to it because of having employee evaluations, which always felt like a gotcha, as opposed to what it
Yeah.
really was in terms of getting feedback. So tell us number four.
Yeah, so number four is after you've evaluated the results of your actions, you have to then do the learning. All right. So maybe this one section of your approach just fell completely flat, maybe in your sales presentation. So maybe you pull out that book from the shelf that teaches how to overcome objections or whatever it might be. Or maybe you go to YouTube and you watch a video, or maybe you look into your library of resources that you have, either physically on the shelf or in your computer with the programs that have all these teachings in there. So whatever you need to learn, go learn that. So you've evaluated what didn't work well. I got to figure out how to make a better opening presentation, how I use an opening hook, how I capture the audience's attention, whatever it might be. You figure out how to fix that one piece of the puzzle. And then the most valuable step is step number five. It's the final step. And that is lather, rinse, and repeat. Just go back to the beginning, make a new plan, take action. Evaluate the results because this time you're going to have different results. You're going to have some more things you did by accident that were good. You're going to make some more mistakes and then learn from the mistakes. Do I need to hire a coach? Do I need to buy a program? Do I need to get some consultant in here? Do I need to, what do I need to do to incrementally improve? Now, a lot of people ask, what's the length of this process? I got to tell you, I like to do this every single day. Every single day. Here's what I'm going to do. So when I stumble into my office in the morning, yeah, I've got some objectives, some goals, some to-do list. What is my plan for the day? And I'll spend 5, maybe 10 minutes on it, jot it down on my daily to-do list. All right, here's what I want to accomplish today. And then set it aside and jump in and take action. I do the podcast interview. I do my webinar. I work on my newsletter. I work with my coaching clients, whatever it is I need to do. I jump in and do it. At the end of the day, I ask myself, what went right? And I commit myself to doing that again. What didn't go so well? What do I need to learn? And then I'll dig into my library. I'll make a call. I'll have a Zoom call. We'll do some coaching, whatever I need to do so I can do it better. And then lather, rinse, repeat. Tomorrow, we'll do it all over again. So the power of incremental improvement. If you improve just 1% each day and you add that up over the course of a year, you're looking at over 300% improvement.
It's even more than that, Al, because improvement is it's exponential,
Yes.
and so what you improve 1% on, I consider it to be like the spokes on a wheel. That one change is at the center of the circle when you start, but as you do it more and more, it gets wider and wider, and so your results get better. And so the other thing that I think that you said that I think is so important is, and it's almost contrary to the entrepreneurial nature, is you do better if you don't do it by yourself, if you do it in some kind of community, if you do it with a coach, if you have a support group. And I think, this is my new favorite saying. And it was from, I listened to a webinar, and the person said, "The brain that created this problem is not the brain that can solve it alone." And I just was like, oh my God, that's it. I mean, that's absolutely it. And the fact that, that you were saying, I went to a productivity coach, I brainstormed with somebody, I did some other things, I think is really important. And the fact that, you are evaluating every day makes it, I don't want to say makes it a habit, it makes it part of your whole quest for excellence. And I think that's the thing that makes us better, and helps us, that we are have everyday excellence.
Yes, you are so right. And when I hired that coach 35 plus years ago, that was something that was new, that was unique. I mean, there weren't really a plethora of coaches out there. I hadn't even heard of a group called a mastermind. And over the last, gosh, 25, 30 years that I've been an entrepreneur, I have invested in a coach every single year. Now, maybe not every single month of every single year, but for a substantial portion of that. And frankly, I probably spent 25 to 30% of my gross income on coaching, on mastermind groups, on personal and professional development. So your comment about you can't fix this with the same mind that got you into the problem in the first place, you're absolutely right. It takes a village. It takes helpers. It takes coaches. It takes mastermind groups to help you refocus your thinking. Because as I'm making my plan and I'm doing my activities and I'm evaluating my activities, I frequently count on a third party view, an outside viewpoint to help me see things that I'm not seeing from my direction. So that is just an awesome point that you bring up about needing to have outsiders and others to help you focus on what it is that you're really trying to accomplish.
And you know, the other part to that is, I think we make this mistake of trying to wait till we're ready or wait till we're close to finish before we get help. If you get that help when you're starting, you will avoid so many pitfalls and so many, and this is, and no matter where you are in your career, you have things that you are wedded to. I mean, you're like, this is my thing, you know? But you know, sometimes you got to get kicked in the head by a mule to, and you know that I'm going through that now, that I'm in the process of redoing my, you know, it's like, okay, I gave it a good shot. I evaluated, I did this, I did that. Maybe it's time I listen to somebody.
Yeah, I frequently say if at first you don't succeed, why don't you try doing what your coach told you to
That's true. That's true. So, I think what you said is amazing. And so if you were to come up with just, I mean, your steps are very practical to begin with. But for somebody who goes, you know, what would be at least one thing that you would have them do, let's say on a regular basis?
Take action before you think you're ready.
Yes.
Just take action. Just take action. Because that's the action and what happens after taking action. That's where the magic happens. It's not in the planning.
And you know, I think this is some place where people don't think about this, you know, and I am so guilty of this, where you sit down, you plan a course, you do all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And you know, it f falls on its face because you're not getting in front of enough people. If you got in front of people regularly, whether it's networking, whether it's community, whether it's just talking to other people about what you're doing, your planning for that course or that content would be so much better, so much more on target. And, you know, probably from a coach, it's that said to me, you have to get in front of 50 people a month. And I'm like, what? And they're like, how many people are you getting in front of a month? And I'm like, not anywhere close to 50, that's for sure. I mean, and it's kind of like, all right, let me get out there. Let me get my feet wet. Let me get in front of all these people. If you can't get in front of the people, nobody's going to know how great your plan is. Nobody's going to know how great your service is or what you can deliver.
Oh, you are so right. Yeah. It takes a lot more people to get in front of, to get the results that you're looking for. And I think so many people are have that fear of failure. Well, if I get in front of 50 people and 47 of them, just say no, oh, I'm going to be horrible. That's going to suck. Well, no, it's not. It's not going to suck because three people will have said yes, or whatever your numbers happen to be.
But it also isn't about the fear of failure, I don't think. I think it's the uncertainty. Why me? I mean, I part of a lot of what I teach is about change, right? And so it's kind of like everybody teaches change. So why is that, you know, why would somebody listen to me? And you know, what I found though was when I was giving talks, and at the very end I'd say, okay, I'm just going to give you this about change, like a throwaway. And I would say, what was the most important thing you got out of the talk? And it could have been on some kind of a totally different training. And people go, change. I'm like, okay, so I'm saying it in a way that it's really affecting people. So let me ask you this. You are a man that has a major amount of goodies. What are you going to offer the audience?
What am I going to offer the audience? Well, can I tell just a real short story that leads into that?
Absolutely.
So, one of the things I was anticipating a question from you is something new. When's the last time I did something new?
Well, you
Well,
can do that. That can be, you can put them together if you like.
I'm gonna put those together. When's the last time I did something new? Well, just this morning, as a matter of fact. As part of my morning agility training, I tried putting on both pant legs at the same time. So I don't know if I'm gonna continue that, but it's something new for sure. Now, beyond that, I recently launched a newsletter for speakers, coaches, and content creators. And it features articles that I've written, as well as articles that are written by some of my rock star entrepreneurial friends that provide cutting edge insights. And it will help elevate your business skills to the next stage. And I'm using my 5-step success strategy with that newsletter. I launched it after only 5 days of planning. Now, I'll be sending out my 4th edition in just a couple of days, and I'm applying that strategy with every edition. In fact, if you subscribe to that, you can look at the earlier editions and you can see how it's changed week by week. And, you know, I've never been a publisher before. So that is something new indeed. And what I'd like to offer your audience is an opportunity to take advantage of that Peak Speak newsletter. And it's all about individuals who want to use the stage, either live or virtual, to elevate their business, to find new prospective clients at a webinar, workshop, masterclass, roundtable, whatever it might be, and how to put those pieces together. So for your listeners, I'll make an offer of absolutely free subscription to that newsletter. And there are some ads in there because we got to pay the bills somehow. But I guarantee you're going to get some awesome articles, information, takeaways, and some great resources that you can use to build your business and elevate your success to the next stage.
And Al, that fits right into what we were saying about you have to get in front of people. So these two are going to get you into action, right? Mm-hmm. Get you some learning. And it's free and it comes on a regular basis. So it's also, I feel like it's an accountability tool because it's like you next time, does it come out every week?
It does. Every Wednesday I hit.
So when you get it on Wednesday, part of your planning for the week is what is Al talking about? And what, before you open it up, you say to yourself, what action have I taken since the last time? I mean, that should be your trigger. To see what you're doing. And you're going to find that in the notes for the show. And Al also has something else that he does that you'll find in the notes.
That's right. Once a month, I do a webinar. You can call it a workshop. You can call it a masterclass. I don't care what you call it, but I just care that you show up. It's 60 minutes worth of training, which helps you understand how to avoid the most common mistakes that webinar presenters make, and more importantly, how to avoid those. That happens the first Friday of every single month. So we'll make a complimentary invitation to come join us there and hopefully elevate your public speaking, your webinar presentation skills to the next stage.
So when they get your newsletter, they'll be in one, you know, like the week before or something, it'll tell you when the next one is.
Yes. We'll always have a link in there for the next webinar. Generally speaking, it happens the first Friday of every single month. Sometimes, depending on holidays, there may be some changes to that, but it will be highlighted in the newsletter. Yes, absolutely.
So you guys, you've gotten a treasure trove. You've got this information that's going to come right to your mailbox once a week, that's going to act as an accountability trigger. Plus, you have a workshop that you can go to once a month that will, all of these things will get you in front of people so that you can be more profitable and take action. And that's really what it's about. If you want to have an impact on people, you can't do it sitting in your closet all by yourself. And not only that, you will also find other people that have the same kind of mindset that you do, which is, you know, is a really a beginning of community, which is a really a great thing. So I think, Al, the other thing that I would like to do is, first of all, I should tell everybody that Al has made an incredible impact on my business. He is a marvelous person. You are doing yourself a huge favor to attend and read his newsletter and to get into his sphere of influence. So before I forget to pay the bills, like they say, you know, one of the first steps you want to do is subscribe and share and engage with the podcast. It's meant to supercharge your business through connection. So this is, the way to do that. And we're hoping to build a vibrant community that's going to fuel your quest for growth and impact. So I want to make sure that you join me on the One Small Change and see the other people that are coming, because each week we're going to have somebody who's going to have a little bit different story, but it's going to have amazing information. And so, it'll help you dive into the world of bold vision and innovative possibilities, because, I think that when you're in a situation, it's not yes or no, it's something in between, and there's a myriad of possibilities for you. So before we stop, do you have any last words that you want people to remember?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Yvonne. I'd like to leave everyone with a thought that guides me both in my personal growth and as I build the Peak Speak newsletter. And it's this: progress, not perfection. Every day offers us a canvas to paint our efforts, to learn from the outcomes, and apply that learning to do just a little bit better the next day. The beauty of consistent improvement isn't in monumental leaps, but in those small, consistent, incremental steps forward.
Amen,
Whether it's through
brother.
the Peak Speak or any endeavor in life, remember that the smallest step forward is still progress. Embrace it, celebrate it, and never underestimate the power of moving forward, even if it's just an inch at a time.
And I agree with you so much. One of the things that I say is not, don't celebrate, perfection, or don't celebrate the goal. Celebrate the progress, because
Right.
sometimes you can, as you're doing that evaluation piece, I have to say, for those of that know something about me, that I was over 400 pounds and I lost 150. And sometimes it seemed like, I only lost a pound or whatever. And I had to look back a year and say, where was I a year, 2 years ago, and go, yes, I have made an incredible amount of progress. I may not, in this particular window, made a lot, but I made some. And like I said, I didn't want to jump on Al's last words, which I just did, but just hearing him talk and the pieces of wisdom that he gave us should make you want to open that newsletter when you see the link. So what I want to say is that change is simple, but it's not always easy. And I think that's the thing that people forget, because it requires courage, it requires resilience. And it requires a willingness to step out of your comfort zone. If you're always comfortable, you can't be doing anything really bold or new. And so I hope that you will join me again for the One Small Change and take a look at what we can do and meet some people who are willing to share their one small change to have an impact on your life. Al, thank you so much. This has been wonderful, as always. Oh, and if you go to Vegas, you got to buy Al a dinner.
Absolutely. Come to Vegas, the happiest place in the universe, as far as I'm concerned. So, would love to see you and meet you if you ever come to fabulous Las Vegas.
Okay, till next time. Bye, everybody.